Jesus, you're here. Jesus, you're here. All things are possible now that you're here. Jesus, you're here. Jesus, you're here. And all things are possible now that you're here.
Amen. If we open our Bibles this morning to Matthew chapter 24. And reading from verse 24. For there shall rise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. And also 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 1 and 2. The Spirit clearly speaks that in the last times some will abandon the faith and follow deceiving spirits and things taught by demons. Such things come through hypocritical liars whose consciences have been seared as with a hot iron. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear gracious Father, we have read several scriptures this morning where you have warned us of the conditions at the end time. And Father, we realize, Lord, that you haven't come down with a shout, yet we are told that at the end time there would be many who would depart from the faith. And realizing that there is only one Lord and one faith, and that one faith is the revelation of that one Lord, the revelation of Jesus Christ, that therefore many would depart from the faith. And so, Father, we just pray that this small little flock that you have given us to shepherd would be amongst those who would be there when you change from the shout, which is the message, to the voice of the resurrection. May we be part of it, Father, for we ask it humbly in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. This morning I'd like to continue from Brother Ram's sermon, The Spoken Word's Original Seed. We read paragraph 156 last night. I'd like to begin there again, where Brother Branham says, yes, you say, well, Brother Branham, don't you believe the Holy Ghost speaks in tongues? Yes, sir, but give it the word test. See, Jannes and Jambres worked miracles. That's right, didn't they? Yes, sir, Jannes and Jambres. When Moses went down to Egypt, everything that Moses done in the way of a sign, Jannes and Jambres, them two witches, could produce the same thing, two devils. Moses would say, fleas, and they would say, fleas. Moses would say, stick in the ground, they put stick in the ground. Moses say a serpent, they say a serpent. That's right. They could work miracles, but the Bible said in the last days that devils would rise working miracles and would deceive the people. Awful hard, brother, but you must know the truth. Now, Brother Branham didn't pull any punches here, and that was pretty strong talk, really, when he calls them devils, the people that are out there counterfeiting. And he kind of defines who that is in the next few paragraphs. He says, Jesus said, many will come to me in that day and say, Lord, Lord, haven't not I did this and did that and did that for, and so forth in your name? And he'll say, depart from me, you worker of iniquity. Well, what is iniquity? It's something that you know that's wrong and you do it anyhow. And you know that God's word is right. Why do you play the hypocrite? Because your organization and pick a little bit here and won't take the rest of it. You worker of iniquity, he said, depart from me, I never even knew you. Now, you either made... You either made through hell here or hereafter, so, see? Now remember, that's true. That's what Jesus said, Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses. And remember, and the Bible said, as they withstood Moses, in the last days they would reappear those spirits again. What? Just before the liberation of the people. Hallelujah. The liberation time's here. Jesus said in Matthew 24, over there, that they would deceive the very elected if it was possible. Just the elected will catch it. Just one here and one there, the very elected if possible. As Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so will these men of reprobate minds concerning the word, concerning the truth. And the word is the truth, is that right? Now, this is not skim milk, friends, you see. Now look, the Bible said, Jesus said that they would be so close that they would deceive the very elected if it was possible. But it ain't possible. That seed's going to fall there because it's a predestinated to fall there. The seed has went forth. The denominations are sowed. The word's been sowed. See? And Jannes and Jambres, them people, the Bible said that these devils would rise up in the last days and would deceive the people by these miracles and signs that they could perform. How are you going to know the difference? The word. Even the Old Testament said, if they speak not according to the law and prophets, there's no life in them. If they deny one thing, then show me one person was ever baptized using the titles of name of Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Why do you do it then? A creed, hybrid, dead children, bastard children, twice dead, plucked up by the roots, and every root that my Father, even every plant that my Heavenly Father hasn't planted will be rooted up. Both heavens and earth will pass away, but my word shall not pass away, said Jesus. Now you see, I've stood the way that I have. Show me one place, if it isn't a curse for a woman to cut her hair. There you are. Then you fuss at me. Then people say, Brother Branham's a prophet. Oh, you can believe him as long as he's talking to the people, telling him sins and things like that. But when he goes to teaching, don't you believe that? Well, you hypocrite, you don't know nothing. Doesn't the Bible say that the word of the Lord comes to the prophet? I don't call myself a prophet. I'm no prophet. But you said, I'm saying what you said. And then turn around and say a thing like that. Don't say that you didn't do it. I've even got it taped where you said it. You didn't know that, did you? Just want to say that you didn't one time. That's all I want to say, you to say. I'll let your own voice play it back to you. As Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, miracle workers, but where was the word, the true word? There was guys working miracles. There was guys couldn't do everything in that miracle line, but there was two anointed prophets standing there, or one prophet and his helpmate. There was an anointed prophet called Moses stood there, had thus saith the Lord, and at the end it was all manifested before the deliverance. Is that right? The so-called miracle workers died right out. Now, what they're trying to do, they're trying to manufacture a latter rain. Nonsense. Why, that latter rain will sweep the world, brother. And then a former rain sowing word? That's right. Now, you'll see what the latter rain produces. You'll find out that there'll be affiliations. The Pentecostals and all the groups will come together and they'll shut the doors on them guys that won't listen to it. And you won't even be able to open your mouth. That's right. That's when he will come. That's when he will show. That's when you'll see a rain. Oh my. Lay still. Be quiet. Let it go, see? You know, these men are conscious, but they have no conscience. You see, they're children of disobedience. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 5 we read, Do you not remember that while I was still with you, I kept on telling you these things? And now you know with a positive assurance that which namely the departure of the church, the saints being assembled to the Lord, is preventing his being disclosed as to his true identity. In a strategic appointed time, for the mystery of the aforementioned lawlessness is now operating. Only he, the Holy Spirit, who is holding the lawlessness down, will do so until he goes out from the midst of humanity, and then shall the lawless one be disclosed as to his true identity. Now that's from the Weiss translation. So you see, God is allowing these things to happen. He's allowing, you know, the false anointed to rise up. He's allowing the deception, even in this message. And we're going to find out a little bit later on in the sermon what I mean by that. So you see here that this scripture speaks first of the saints assembling to the Lord, and then it speaks of their departure from the earth. Then as if in the same breath, Paul also tells us what will happen when the Holy Spirit departs from the midst of humanity. Now the Holy Spirit could not depart from the midst of humanity if he were not here to depart. Right? Well, there's your appearing, you see. And if we are to be gathered together to him first, Then when he goes, we go. For nowhere in Scripture does it speak contrary to this. Nowhere in Scripture does it speak of the Lord leaving at a different time from the earth than the saints leave. So if we're gathered together unto him first, then it is he that takes us up from the midst of humanity, just like Jesus took Peter, James, and John. Now from the Amplified translation of the verse, and kind of a combination of Amplified and Weiss, it says, whose coming and presence is in the sphere of every kind of... Now, it's talking about the presence of the wicked one. It says, and whose coming and presence is in the sphere of every kind of wicked deception geared to the gullibility of those who are perishing. And this gullibility is caused by the fact that they did not accept the love for the truth to the end that they might be saved. And by unlimited seduction to evil, and with all wicked deception geared to the gullibility of those who are in the act of perishing, this gullibility being caused by the fact that they did not welcome and accept the truth, but refused to love it, that they might be saved. Therefore, God sends upon them a misleading influence, a working of error, and a strong delusion to make them believe what is false. Now, you don't think that this will happen right here in the message? They are already doing it and being led out of this message by the hundreds, if not the thousands. From Jude 16, the Amplified Version says, "These men revile." That means that they scoff and they sneer at anything that they do not happen to be acquainted with and do not understand. Notice the things they are not acquainted with. It is those things that they sneer and scoff at. Therefore, it shows that they do not understand. So instead of searching to find the truth, they can only do what they're destined to do, and that is to mock it. And we saw exactly that happen during the 80s and during the 90s in this message. First, when Brother Vail taught that God is here, he used the term parousia, explaining how that he's here. We call it the appearing before the coming. They mocked it. They smeared it. And then some arose right among us who twisted it to become the literal second coming, not knowing the scriptures. So they talk contrary to the scriptures, and yet they are the ones who have multiple hundreds in their churches. I want you to see what is happening, because we're going to read what Peter tells us, that many shall follow their pernicious ways. Many. He's not saying it's a little group here, a little group there. Many. And look where the big churches are. It's the men who either refuse to teach the doctrine, or they're wrapped up in organization, programs. When Brother Vail began to talk the appearing and coming, they made fun of it. He used the Greek word parousia, and they said, "Well, where did Brother Branham ever use the word parousia?" And yet Brother Branham said 4,000 times. That's three times every sermon average. Brother Branham said, what did he say? He said, "He's here. He's come down." So because they don't understand the difference between the appearing and coming, and they don't understand the Godhead, when they finally see that there's enough scripture, enough quotes where Brother Branham says he's here, they start to teach it. But then they say, "Well, you see, we've got it right because we've got a right spirit." And yet, who was it that was mocking and knocking and smearing at to begin with? Then who has the right spirit? You understand? The ones who mocked it and sneered it and called it false doctrine say the ones who taught it before they had a wrong spirit. Seems to me that Brother Bram said you give it the word test. That'll tell who's got a right spirit. Well, when we put out the books and we prove this message through the internet, with so many quotes, so many scriptures, linking Brother Branham's voice to his quotes, there was enough evidence out there that they couldn't refuse it anymore. So they begin to teach it in their own way. They started to preach it, but not understanding the Godhead, they preached it wrong. And to justify themselves, they said that they taught it right because they have a right spirit, and we have the wrong spirit. And yet, who was calling who? Who was mocking who? Who was saying who was in false doctrine for all those years? At least 10 years it was being preached before they caught on and started to teach it themselves on the presence. And who called the doctrine false to begin with, labeling those who taught it as false? Look, God is not dealing with an unbelieving world. He is dealing with the believers and make-believers. So the make-believer, to have a platform, will have to come in amongst the believers with their perversions of the message and try to take over. They have done it in every age because many more are the children of the harlot than she which has a husband. Now I want you to open your Bibles to 2 Peter chapter 2 so we can understand what is taking place, what has taken place. But as there were false prophets among the people, even so shall there be false teachers among you, who privily, the word privily means privately, in secret, privately and in secret, they shall bring in, notice, privately, that means privately or secretly, do they bring in damnable heresies. Bring in from where? From the outside. Things that weren't on the inside are now being taught on the inside by those who brought them in from the outside. You see, they don't understand that word in. How many times we've preached that over this pulpit? God was in Christ. Didn't say God was Christ. God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself. You see? And Peter says that they will bring in, alongside of true doctrine, destructive heresies. Now, if they are going to bring in, then they had to get it from somewhere else outside of the message in the first place. And then bring it in amongst the message people. And look, I do not say this to boast, but I will put up my sermons against any man on this field today for accuracy to the scripture and the message. In fact, not too many have enough guts to put in writing what they believe anyway. Oh, a lot of them will put their DVDs out or their MP3s out there because they know that they can charm with a lot of nothing. They put on a lot of music, put on a lot of entertainment. In fact, if you watch their videos, their preaching is maybe one third, at least maybe one half of the time that they have for music. It's all music, it's all entertainment. They have great piano players, great guitar players, pretty average singers, but a lot of music, a lot of emotion. Then they get up there and they use emotion, they use walking around the platform, you know, strutting around the platform, using all kind of antics. Leaving the pulpit. When did Brother Branham leave the pulpit? And they use entertainment to lure the people away from the truth. And they get a lot of money doing it. But have them put their sermons in writing where people can actually read what they say. They won't do it. Why? Because last week they were teaching something different than they teach this week. Because they don't know where they stand. As James said, they're vacillating in the wind. They teach opposing ideas so often that they can't keep it straight from one season to the next. I have 25 years of teaching on the internet, more than 1,200 sermons and MP3s, both in text and in voice. And they can't find one place that I haven't said it from the scriptures or from God's prophet. Not one place. But in 2 Peter 2 and 1 it says, "But as there were false prophets among the people, even so shall there be false teachers among you who privately, and in secret shall they bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them." Well, who is the Lord that bought them? Who paid the price? Because that's the one that bought him. And that was the Son of God paid the price. And they're denying there isn't even. They don't even believe there's a Son of God. They believe he was his own father. They believe Jesus the man was just a coat. No soul of his own, no spirit. Just a coat, and God came in and gave him a soul and spirit. It seems to me that a man couldn't live for 30 years without a soul and spirit. He couldn't even be born. You see? But the Son of God paid the price with his own blood, and they deny that there is a Son of God by teaching that Jesus was his own father. You know, of all the ridiculous concepts to believe, that a man could be his own father. You know, just simple logic, or as Brother Bram said, simple common sense would tell you that some of these things that are being taught out there are just ludicrous. Like, we're in the millennium now. Oh, we are. I thought the Bible said the lion shall lay down with the lamb. That the second coming took place. Well, where'd the rapture then? Where was the rapture? You see, they don't know their Bibles, neither do they know the message. But they get a little bug in their ear, and they start to talk it, and they draw together crowds of people that are idiots. Forgive me for saying that. I shouldn't be so harsh. The Holy Spirit corrected me on that. But it's lunatic, and I say that not to the people, but the ideas are lunacy. How could anybody believe that there's three people that makes up a trinity, and yet they're one? Three gods making one God. Well, I know the old Search commercial said two and one, you know. John could probably show you some of those little tricks. How you make two eggs into one egg. It's just a shell game. But how could anybody with their right mind believe in the theology that's presented out there by the oneness and by the Trinitarians? How could Jesus be his own father? A young child, 5 years old, who could read the scripture would tell you that's idiotic. But there's something that pulls the people into those systems. And you know what it is? They don't like being alone. Every one of these big churches in the message, you've got churches that are 1,000 people, 600 people. Every one of them grew from stealing small flocks, stealing people, sheep from small flocks. Every one of them. Not a one of them went out to the streets and brought in the unbeliever. They went out to the message churches, the little churches that were struggling, the little churches that maybe didn't have a pastor, but they're listening to tapes. And they lured them in through their entertainment, through their programs for the children. See, it's always for the children. Isn't that what the liberals are always doing in politics? Oh, save the children. And yet, they're spending trillions of dollars and putting it on the backs of the children. What a bunch of hypocrites. Devils is what they are. And many shall follow their pernicious ways. Let me read that again. 2 Peter 2 and 1. But as there arose false prophets among the people, even also shall there be false teachers who will be of such a character, the Weiss translation, as to bring in alongside of true doctrine destructive heresies, even denying the Lord who purchased them, bringing upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their licentious conduct to its consummation. It didn't say that just a few will follow after their lies. It says many. The Greek word there was polos. And it means many or largely, mostly, abundantly, altogether, much of, plenteous, etc. Now look, brothers and sisters, that isn't in the minority. That is the majority shall follow their pernicious teachings. And that means the false brethren who come into this message will take it over and become the majority. So good luck trying to find a welcome pulpit among that mess. And yet they came in, they sat down, they enjoyed the message. They sat down amongst you in the quietness of the 70s and slowly took it over, lock, stock, and barrel. His brother Vail told me a few years ago, he said the make-believers have taken over the message. And mostly shall follow, their licentious conduct to its consummation, on account of whom the way of truth will be reviled. You see, many will follow their shameful ways and will bring the way of truth into disrepute. In their greed, these teachers will exploit you with stories that they've made up. Their condemnation has long been hanging over them and their destruction has not been sleeping. They will revile the truth. And what does that mean? They will speak evil of it. Oh, eventually they will have to preach the presence. They'll take their stab at the Godhead and admit that we are right. But will they have us come to teach them, seeing that they didn't get it right in the first place? Are you kidding? Then they would have to admit that they were in error all these years. But notice it says that these men are greedy, and they want it all for themselves, and so they go out, they proselyte the small church, who do not have the entertainment that is needed today for a crowd to gather a crowd together. And with songs and large-scale work efforts, they lure those who are gullible away from the safety of their smaller churches, where your walk is not rewarded with one party after another. But your walk is rewarded by the humility of the gospel. As the Bible says, by walking in the way of the Lord's despised few. And it says, these men will come into the message and give a wrong understanding of the word of God, and the people will be caught up into what these men say as evil interpreters of the word of truth. And in the sphere of covetousness, with fabricated words, they will exploit you, from whom or for whom, from ancient times, their judgment has not been idle. Now, those are not my words. Those are God's warning to his church. I've just read them from different translations of the scripture. To get a good idea of the message, or the character of these men, Let me read the same scripture from the translation called The Message. It's a recent translation. 2 Peter 2 and 1. But there were also lying prophets among the people, just as there will be lying religious teachers among you. They'll smuggle in destructive divisions, pitting you against each other, biting the hand of the one who gave them a chance to have their lives back. They've put themselves on a fast downhill slide to destruction, but not before they recruit a crowd of mixed up followers who can't tell right from wrong. They give the way of truth a bad name. They're only out for themselves. They'll say anything that sounds good to exploit you. They won't, of course, get by with it. They'll come to a bad end, for God has never stood by and let those kind of things go on. Good translation. Very adequate. And we're warned in 1 Timothy 4 and 1. Now, the Spirit speaks expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith. And Paul said there's only one faith. So these are departing from the end time revelation of Jesus Christ. Giving heed, how do they depart? Giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Satan's messengers masquerading as angels of light. 2 Corinthians 11, 13 to 15, where Paul said that they would masquerade as messengers of light. Paul calls them those superfine apostles, more righteous than God is righteous, but false to the bone, and look what they did to the early church. Notice Galatians 1, 6 to 9. Paul says, if they speak any other word than what he's already preached, let them be cursed. So these are accursed people. And you say, wow, I don't like you to talk negative like that. I'm repeating what Paul said. I'm repeating what Brother Branham said. We just read the first four paragraphs today where Brother Branham lambasted and called them devils that would do such. Well, Mark 7, 7, Jesus even says, howbeit in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrine the commandments of men. For laying aside the commandments of God, ye hold the traditions of men as the washing of pots and cups, and many other such things ye do. And he said unto them, full well ye reject the commandments of God, that ye may keep your own traditions. So they reject the word of God in favor of their own teachings. And what does this do? It voids the power of the word in their lives. Thus they crucify the word to themselves. In Hebrews 6, verses 4 to 8, we read, for it is impossible for those who have been once for all enlightened, those who have tasted of the heavenly gift and have been made partakers of or companions of the Holy Ghost, himself being brought in alongside and made aware of his presence, by tasting the goodness of God's vindicated word and having been exposed to the powers of the coming age, having fallen away and deviated from the truth, it's impossible for them to ever come to a change of mind again, seeing that they crucified themselves along with the Son of God and have subjected him to public disgrace. Now catch carefully what Paul says right after this. For the land that drinks in the rain, the doctrine, that's according to Deuteronomy 32, that often falls upon it, and that produces a crop that is useful to those who have sown it. And who did the sowing? The Son of Man. It is this land which produces the crop, which receives the blessings from God. But the land that produces thorns and thistles is worthless to the one who sowed the land and is in danger of being cursed. And in the end, it will be burned. So one produces a crop because it has life, and the other has no life, therefore cannot produce a crop. So in Hebrews 6 and 4, we notice that God can't be crucified. They're not crucifying God. He's a spirit. They cannot crucify him, so they crucify the Son of God. And who is he? He's the Word manifested. And that's exactly what they do, making it of no use to them by their own traditions and creeds. So where do we sit today? Brother Vail has read to me a few times, I've been up there, a certain quote. Where Brother Branham said, there's going to be someone come in among us. He said, but I want you to know one thing. I brought the word. But he's going to come with miracles. I want you to be keeping your eyes out for that. Because this message has rejected, the people in this message have rejected the prophet. They've accepted the man, William Branham, but they rejected his teaching. And out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. As a man is in his heart, so does he speak. So they have rejected William Branham because they rejected what he taught. Although they've accepted the man to position themselves. We see it everywhere. And so may God help us if we elevate a man and not the words that the man brought. Let's just bow our heads in prayer. Dear gracious Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, we realize it was a little bit seemingly on the negative side, but yet it's not, because even though it spoke of those who have come in among us and have destroyed this message, and Father, we know that there are those whom the message came for and to deliver them. And so, Lord, we're just waiting upon you. Help us not to reject one word that your prophet said, but help us to hold to those words. For we ask it humbly in Jesus' name. Amen. And how do we hold to those words? You apply the token, brother. You apply the token. And how do you apply the token? Get rid of those TV sets. Get rid of the things of the world. I think we need to come together and a little more often. I think we need to be praying more. I think we need to be gathering as a family more, talking the word, not just sitting down for 5 seconds and getting up. I think we need to take part of our day as a family to talk about the word, not just read a scripture. That's fine. You should read a scripture, and you should have prayer. But I think we need to sit and talk about this journey that we're on. What's the next thing in the journey? What should we be looking for? What should we be praying for? And I don't think it's a bad thing for us to be praying for the resurrection to come. Let's just sing, I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day.